Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. Another beautiful Sunday to praise our God for His grace and His generosity. How awesome is our God? How generous is He? How much does that God give us? Everything. Yeah, He gives us so much, right? He gives us Jesus. He gives us everything we need for our day-to-day lives. And what a great way that we get to respond then. God also gives us the privilege in being generous, too, with others. And so we'll talk about that today and reflect on the privilege we have in that way. You'll see that in the hymns and the readings and all of that throughout the worship service. You'll also see that we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper today. So prepare your minds and hearts to partake of the Lord's Supper together in unity. And since it is a fellowship meal, we ask that those who are not a part of St. Mark's or of a church within our fellowship to refrain from taking the Lord's Supper. And if you want to join us in the future, come see me. I'd love to talk to you how we can do that. We'll begin our worship with hymn 477. Please note, we'll sing verses 1 and 4. May God bless your worship this morning. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Now this morning we're going to read in response to that forgiveness responsively, Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart, in the council of the upright and in the assembly.
Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them.
Glorious and majestic are His deeds, and His righteousness endures forever.
He has caused His wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate.
He provides food for those who fear Him. He remembers His covenant forever.
He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations.
The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy.
They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness.
He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you form the minds of your faithful people into a single will. Make us love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may ever yearn for the lasting joys of heaven. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. As we take a look at God's generosity and the privilege we have in also providing that generosity to others, we go to 2 Kings chapter 4 for our first lesson. Here we see the prophet Elisha had the privilege of joining in a very generous moment, a miracle from God. From 2 Kings 4. A man came from Baal Shalishah, bringing the man of God 20 loaves of barley bread baked from the first ripe grain, along with some heads of new grain. "Give it to the people to eat," Elisha said. "How can I set this before 100 men?" his servant asked. But Elisha answered, "Give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says. They will eat and have some left over." Then he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Now we'll respond from Psalm 111. This is a companion psalm, Psalm 112. We respond to what God does and all of his mighty works with what we do then. Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever.
Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous.
Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice.
Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever.
They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
Their hearts are
They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor.
Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high and honored.
The second lesson comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This will also serve as the sermon text for today. From 2 Corinthians 9. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The word of the Lord. The verse of the day reflects something very generous that we have, and it gives us eternal life. Alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Please stand now in honor of the gospel. The gospel comes from John chapter 6. If we thought that Elisha's miracle was a good one, wait till you read this one. What Jesus does. Jesus is generous, and the disciples get the help in sharing that generosity. From John 6. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 500 men were there. 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. The Gospel of the Lord. We'll now confess our faith in God's generosity according to the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the hymn of the day, O Master of the Loving Heart, number 491, in the red song books in front of you.
Thank you.
peace of God be with you, brothers and sisters, because he is generous. Amen. The sermon text for today is the second lesson that we read, but let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your grace. Amen. I have a few common proverbial sayings that I'm going to speak, and I want you to finish them. Okay? Practice makes
perfect. All right.
Many hands make
light work.
Many hands make light work. You get what you
pay for.
You get what you pay for, you get what you put in. A very, very common sayings, right? Very sayings that we know very well. Okay. Well, they all have one main point, don't they? You get out whatever you put in, right? It's simple math. I think we all know that. That's easy. For example, pretend you're a farmer, and you have a plot of field, and you put just a little pinch of seed in there. You have another plot of field, and you sow very generously. Which one's going to give you the greater yield, all else being equal? The one where you sow generously, right? It's simple math. It's easy. We know that. So why then, if we know that it's such simple math, such a simple concept, do we struggle to be generous with our good works, especially in our good works of giving? A lot of times it can be because of greed or selfishness that kind of rise in our hearts, and we know that that's bad. But there is still a big part of us that wants to honor God, that wants to give back to him, that wants to help other people, and yet even this can still be stifled a little bit. Why? I think because we think way too small sometimes in a number of different ways. We're going to go verse by verse in this sermon text. And it's going to answer common arguments that pop up into our minds and in our hearts that keep us from being generous. This text is going to help us not think so small. It's going to help us be generous like our generous God. So we're going to start in a very fitting place. We're going to start by answering the argument, well, if I want to be generous, what can I possibly be generous with? A lot of times the argument is, I don't have enough for myself, let alone others. Well, if you think the church body that we're a part of is partnering right now with a resource called Mission Insight. Mission Insight kind of compiles survey results and a lot of demographic information, and it gives you a report of everything in whatever area you designate. And one of the things that it spits out is a list of common life concerns in your area. The top two common life concerns in Citrus Heights and in the towns surrounding Citrus Heights: finances for the future and retirement, and finances for day-to-day matters. Out of the top 15, yet another 5 life concerns have to do with time and the future. What do I do with my time? How do I manage it? How do I balance it all? What does the future hold for me? Am I going to be able to achieve all of my goals? A lot of times we have these fears rise up in our hearts, like, I don't have enough. How can I even help somebody else and help God? And we're not alone in that. But God answers that through Paul with verse 8. God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Did you catch the alls and the everys? Those aren't small words, are they? In fact, the first one wasn't even translated in the English. Paul literally says, God is able to cause all grace to abound for you. Right off the bat, we have to make clear what it is that gives this godly desire to us and what drives that godly desire. It's God's grace. If we want to talk about being generous, we have to start with what God has given to us through Jesus, his grace. Do we deserve it? No, that's what makes grace his grace. Who are we to receive all grace from God? We're loved by God. It's as simple as that. For God, that's easy math. God saw that we were in need, and so he thought, take my son, my only son. Kind of a generous gift. God saw that we have all of these fears, and a lot of times it's our own fault. God says, you have offended me in so many ways. Well, here, take my free and full forgiveness for all of that. God said, oh, you're headed toward eternal death? Well, here's eternal life. God's pretty generous. And that's all of that grace that God gives to you. And he does it because he loves you. And it's that grace that not only fills you up, but it actually overflows to others. God causes all of that grace to abound, to overflow. It's like not only are you a grace receiver, you're a grace fountain. It fills you up and it pours out into the hearts of others. God has given you all grace. And that same grace, on top of grace, is what provides for us in all the other little ways. Paul said, God is able to cause all grace to abound for you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, there will never be a time or a place when you will not have what you need. God will always provide for you. He promises that. Now, a lot of times we have to reevaluate our definition of need. Sometimes we perceive luxuries as needs. A lot of times when we think we're struggling to get by, well, that can be the result of our own mismanagement of what God gives to us. And if it's a time, well, we know that we have so much time in a day and we can only get through so much, so we have to prioritize, but a lot of times our priorities can be pretty worldly. But when you doubt that God is going to provide what you need, you are making him to be so small. God will provide everything that you need, all of it. Look at how many times he has to provide for us before we finally understand, okay, God, you'll provide what we need. Look at you, you're here today. That's proof alone that God provides everything that you need. Come on, he fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He's all-powerful, and he's all-gracious, and he gives all of that grace to you, and that provides everything that you need in all times, having all that you need. You are able to be generous because God is able. Okay, so we have this godly desire in us and the resources, all thanks to God's grace. What about the argument, well, what do I do with it? Okay, if I have this stuff, what opportunities are out there for me to show big examples of generosity for God? Well, sometimes we think too small by thinking too big. Do you get that? We think too small by thinking too big. And we miss so many of the opportunities that are out there for us. Paul hints at ways that we can do that in verse 9. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Does that sound familiar? Maybe. Maybe you missed it. We read that from Psalm 112. Psalm 112 is that companion psalm with Psalm 111. Psalm 111 talks about how all the awesome things that God does and the generosity he has. Psalm 112, then, right after that, is the response. How we get to imitate God's heart and be generous with others. And one way that we can do that, freely scatter to the poor, literally to those who are in need. The opportunities to find those in need aren't difficult, are they? You can give clothing. You can donate food to the food shelf here at St. Mark's or some other food shelf. You can give money to the member assistance fund. You can give your time. Volunteering, maybe through a connect group, a service-minded one. You can give your time volunteering to church. You can give your expertise or your professional training or what other experiences God has given to you to those in need. We have the gospel to give. Is anybody out there who needs the gospel? Inside and outside the church, I think there are plenty of those. We have lots of opportunities. Look at all the opportunities we have. And I had to shorten that list for this sermon. If we just take a step back and we take inventory of all of the ways that God blesses us, not just materially, but intellectually, and with our experiences and with our connections and where we are in life, we see there are many opportunities for us to do just what God did, freely scatter our gifts. Lots of those. Well, I gave to one person one time and didn't really result in much. I mean, what's the point? Why would I keep giving? It didn't even do much. If you sow just a little pinch of seed, what do you get? And sometimes those seeds don't sprout, do they? But what happens when you sow generously? That's easy math. But God also promises more than easy math, because God surpasses easy math very easily. Verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. God graciously gives us all that we need so that we can scatter it. Not just a little pinch, but generously. And what happens when you sow generously? You get a yield. But not just that. What else do you get? You get more seeds, right, that you can sow, or maybe somebody else can sow, and then more, and then do it again, and then do it again, and then do it again, and everybody's doing it, and guess what God has done? God doesn't think small about a yield like we do. God thinks big, and he promises to enlarge the harvest of the righteousness that we plant. But why? What's the purpose of it all? That's something that maybe it's not an argument, but maybe we just forget about, and so that's good to be reminded of too. Sometimes we think small, not this way, but this way going forward. If we think bigger, then we'll be able to see what it's all about. Will it make a difference? This is what God says in verse 11. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Can you imagine if God didn't send Jesus? Can you imagine if God didn't provide for you day in and day out and for the future? What would that life be like? But God did send Jesus. God did give you eternal life through him. God does provide for you every single day. Are you thankful for that? Yes, you are. And that feeling is exactly why God is so generous to us. God loves you, remember. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be thankful for everything that he's done. And not just that, for those around us too. Obviously, it's a need that they have. When they have those fears for future and day-to-day matters rise in their hearts, well, guess what? When we abound in that grace, it overflows to them and it calms their fears. And they rise in comfort and in peace. And what comes to life? Thanksgiving to God. Like a plant sprouting in a field. And isn't that what it's all about? Recognizing what God has done. So there they are. There are the big truths. Verse 8, God will provide in his grace everything you need. Verse 9, you indeed have many opportunities to share that. Verse 10, God will bless the result and enlarge the harvest. And verse 11, it will result in thanksgiving to God. Notice all of the wills. These are promises. Now let me ask you this. Knowing all of this, what keeps us from being generous to God and to others? Let me ask that in a different way. What keeps you from being generous to God and to others, specifically for you? Now, when I ask that, did a thought pop into your head or a greedy or selfish desire arise? Well, get rid of it. You know that that's not good. And get rid of it in the view of God's grace and everything he's done for you. Did one of those fears arise, you know, about future day-to-day things, time and money? Well, get rid of those. God loves you so much. Don't doubt him. Trust in the Lord that provides for you. Did you think, well, it doesn't matter anyway? You know it does. God says that he'll enlarge it, first of all, and it'll endure forever. And then also, it will result in thanksgiving to God. There's no greater purpose than that. So you can see these truths help beat back whatever argument our sinful hearts try to make to prevent us from being generous. Thanks to God's grace, we know we can be generous. And God gives generous promises for a generous harvest. Amen. Please stand. May the God of all grace bless you abundantly as he does every day. Amen. We'll join together to pray to God in form of a song called Create in Me on page 8. Be seated for an opportunity to be generous to God. This morning in our prayer of the church, we pray for all of those with health challenges, including David Haugen, Betty Oskin, Myrtle Brown, Ed and Bev Heinitz, and Richard Hayes. We also pray for those celebrating anniversaries and birthdays, and we include a couple of special prayers. First of all, for those who are suffering from the fires in Northern California, and also for travel for Monroe Benson, who is moving to Florida. We pray in one mind, one heart, the prayer of the church, and then join together in the Lord's Prayer after that. We pray. Lord, we praise you for your generosity in forgiving our sins and providing for us day after day. Continue to cause your love to abound in us to the glory of your saving name. Gracious Father, please help everyone who is faced with health challenges this week. Make your power known in their lives, their families' lives, and through their doctors and nurses. Lift their spirits with the resurrection of Christ, whose life made sure that someday all of these difficulties will be gone forever. Continue to bless all of those who are celebrating birthdays. Allow this day to be a reminder of your grace to them throughout all of their days. Lord, we thank you for the love of those celebrating anniversaries and your divine wisdom. Continue to allow both good days and bad to draw their hearts and lives closer to each other, that they may be an example of the love you have for us all. Make your presence strong with those suffering the effects of the fires in Northern California and everywhere. Through all of the difficulties, let your generous people make your grace known to them. Please also guide Monroe Benson safely to Florida and keep watch over her there. Continue to give her your wisdom and love so she can continue to glorify you in every good work. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, who also taught us to pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Please stand in honor of the gospel and the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for the closing hymn, God Be With You Till We Meet Again, number 327. Morning.
Good morning.
It was a pleasure worshiping with you of God for his grace yet again and his generosity. Please stick around for Sunday school for the kids at 9:15 in the chapel and Bible studies. We'll continue our Bible studies here in the sanctuary for Mark and Bible information class in the chapel. Just a reminder that there's going to be a potluck today, a quarterly potluck after the second service. So get your food ready and I'll get my stomach ready. Registration for school is coming up this week on Wednesday and Thursday, so check the calendar and for the times. I believe it's 11 to 1 and 5 to 7 on Wednesday, and I think it's just 5 to 7 on Thursday, but go ahead and check that out. It's also in the weekly update. We'll have a second site meeting, a reminder for that, next week after the second service, so we'll get to talk about the awesome things that we could possibly do in Folsom and El Dorado Hills, so stick around after next week's service too. Sign up for the campus workday is there in the back. A campus workday is going to be August 11th. It's a Saturday, and I think it's 8 to noon, so not a too big of a chunk of time, but here's another opportunity where we can volunteer our time. I will say this, okay? So I've been here a year now and seen a couple of these workdays, and I think the last campus workday where we had the most, I think there were more non-member school families than actual St. Mark's members. So let's take the opportunity here and really help beautify our campus and show people that we love it. This is the last call this week for the lost and found. If there's something that you have maybe lost and have not found, check there. It's going to be under the staircase on this, I'm saying right side, I don't know what, east, west, I always forget those, but it's over under the stairs over here. Check it out, lost and found, that'll get cleared out this week. There you go, the coffee pot side, that's the most important thing. For those who are interested, and I hope all of you are, Andy Schwieger passed away, went to heaven, We're going to celebrate his Christian life and what Christ did for him on August 18th at 11 a.m. Andy was a big part of this congregation for many years, so hoping that we'll get as many St. Mark's people as possible. Even if you didn't know him, come thank God for the work that he did before you came. So Andy Schwieger funeral, Saturday, August 18th at 11 a.m. All the other announcements you can see in the weekly update. May God continue to bless you abundantly this week. Please stick around and greet one another.